In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about a willingness to be made new. I'd like to ask you this question. Are you quite satisfied with yourself? Are you A-okay? Is everything just great? Your self-image wonderful? Well, if that's the case, you're in trouble. We've got a lot of encouragement today from a lot of very loud and strident voices telling us that the most important thing is to feel good about ourselves. But if we really want to learn to know Christ, we've got to recognize that we need help, that we can't make it by ourselves. Now, I will confess to you that as I was driving to the studio this morning, I was feeling very tired, and I thought, now, how am I ever going to make it through this day? Well, for one thing, I remembered the word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it through myself, by my own strength. I can't pull myself up by my own bootstraps. But Christ has promised to make our weakness strong. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. The first condition for change is willingness. We have to be willing to say, wash me, Lord. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Heal me, cleanse me, remake me, mold and make me after your will. Lord, do what you know needs to be done. That is the precondition for the transformation that Christ wants to work in us. Does this sound just like empty words to you? Do you really think that God is concerned enough about you to hear your prayers and even to transform your life? I'm sure there's some listening today whose lives really are in a mess. You just feel as though you're in the bottom of the barrel. You can't see any light or any hope or any help. Well, I'm here today to tell you there is help. God has not for one second forgotten you or overlooked your circumstances or your condition, and He is there to help and strengthen and keep you. If you go to the doctor, you're ready to do what he tells you. In other words, you surrender to the doctor's judgment, the diagnosis, and the treatment. My husband Lars has a serious case of glaucoma. It's called pigmentary glaucoma, and his ophthalmologist told him that it is never seen except in men with blonde hair and blue eyes. Well, my husband has blonde hair and blue eyes, and he's got pigmentary glaucoma. So the doctor put it straight to him. He said, you've got two choices. You either faithfully carry out the treatment, which means drops 6 times a day, including setting an alarm clock every night to get up in the middle of the night, or, he said, your other choice is you go blind. So the question is, do you want to see? This is what you do. And believe me, my husband Lars does it. No questions asked, faithfully, relentlessly, every day, every night, in airports, in restaurants, wherever we happen to be, he stops and puts those drops in without setting any limit to his willingness to do what is required. Now let's think about this analogy. Do you think God knows better than you do what will make your life rewarding and fulfilling? I believe he does. He's given us the formula in his word. His diagnosis is that we're sinners, and we have to accept God's diagnosis and the remedy, without setting any limit to our willingness to do what's required. For a long time, Lars was completely unaware that there was anything wrong with his eyes. That's the sneaky thing about glaucoma. There are no symptoms that you're aware of. So, same thing happens in the spiritual life, doesn't it? We underestimate our defects until we come face to face with Christ. And a long, steady look at Him shows up the dirt in our own lives, our own inadequacies, our failures, our sinfulness. We need to be washed and made whiter than snow. My mind goes back to those days when we had family prayers, all of us sitting around in the living room, my father or my mother playing the piano, and we would always begin by the singing of a hymn. And one of the hymns that we used to sing was, "Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Cast out every idol. Cast out every foe. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." You know how it is when the sun shines in on a dusty room. The dust that's not visible by artificial light suddenly becomes very visible when the sun shines in. If you and I are to be transformed into the image of Christ, this is not merely an evolution which happens in my nature, nor is it a natural process. It requires a new birth, a new act of creation, a new principle of life. And it is not, emphatically not, self-help. The self-help programs are aimed at certain aspects which I want to change. The Christian has to leave the firm ground of his own nature, make a break with himself, lose himself, quite literally. This is a radical flinging of myself against the rock Christ Jesus. And that is a form of death, isn't it? The old person has to die in order to be made new. Are you willing to die? If you're willing to be made new, you have to be willing to die to the old self. Just fling the old self against the rock Christ Jesus and die. Just die. And of course, we're talking about a spiritual kind of death, the kind of death that has to take place in our nature. I remember my old Bible teacher, Mr. Maxwell, at Prairie Bible Institute in Alberta, Canada. He told us about a lady coming to him one time and saying, "Oh, Mr. Maxwell, I think I would just die if God wanted me to be a missionary." And Mr. Maxwell, in his wonderful sense of humor and compassionate way, put his hand on the lady's shoulder and he said, "Well, sister, do both." In other words, no missionary is going to be of any use to God or anybody else who's not, first of all, willing to die. Just to give you an idea of how far this is from our natural instincts, how far it is from being the result of any mere evolution that might happen in my nature, look at the things that Jesus says, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount. We often hear people glibly say, "Oh yes, well, I believe in the Sermon on the Mount, but I don't believe all that other stuff in the Bible." When people say that, it's pretty obvious that they haven't read the Sermon on the Mount very clearly, very carefully. For example, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Now, those standards seem ridiculously high, don't they? Well, as I said, we have to leave the firm ground of our own nature, make a break with ourselves, and tumble into the everlasting arms. The Apostle Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." Many Christians are oblivious to the need to change to this extent. They would like to change insofar as it's comfortable, but their willingness is conditional. And they would say, well, there's no need to go that far. Turn the other cheek. If somebody socks you on the right cheek, turn the left. Does that make any sense? No, not in terms of this world. But a Christian has to think in terms of another world, an invisible world. Love your enemies, Jesus said. It's hard enough for most of us to love even our friends all the time, let alone the people that we have to live with every day. God says that we're to love our enemies, turn our cheek, sell everything we have. Oh, well, that's extreme, isn't it? And so we offer to him a restricted compliance, and we don't even feel guilty about it. What I'm talking about today is an unqualified willingness to become a new person. Lord, whatever it takes, make me over. I surrender myself to you. Jesus says, follow me. But when he said that to some of the disciples, they could have said, but I'm a fisherman. Jesus says, get rid of the old self. Desire to be a new man. You have to give up whatever it is that you're doing now. Not necessarily your work, but your ideas of self-improvement. And let God remold your mind from within. This is a process of death to the self, and this process is daily, a daily rising again in Christ.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. We can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.